thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome as our guest Democratic State Senator Louis DePalma of Middletown. Thank you for joining us, Senator.
Ian, great to be here. Good morning to everyone.
The State Senate has been the scene of a lot of recent changes. Dominic Ruggiero has replaced Teresa Pivoweed as president of the Senate. And Ruggiero has moved in East Providence Senator Billy Connolly to take the place of another East Providence Democrat, Daniel DuPont, as chairman of the Senate Finance Committee. Senator DePalma, from where you sit, what do all these changes mean? What are the main differences that they will make?
I think at the end of the day, we're not going to see many differences. I think as an institution and as a government legislative body, we're going to see the priorities that have been priorities of the Senate and the senators moving forward. I know from my perspective, I'll be doubling down in the case of we have new leadership to help to ensure they're informed on those issues. I've been on the Finance Committee since 2008, since electing. So this is my ninth year. I'm looking forward to working with the chairman. I've met with him already, as well as the president, to say I'm willing to give and plan to give 110% like I have over the last 8 years.
You were seen as a possible successor to Daniel DuPont as chairman of the mm-hmm. Finance Committee. Can you explain to us why Billy Connolly was chosen for that role?
It's a leadership. We serve at the pleasure of the Senate president. All the chairs do. And the Senate president, and looking at it, felt Bill was the right person for the tasks in front of us.
Maureen, what's your sense on what these changes in the Senate will mean?
Well, for one thing, it's interesting to me that when you see this shift in leadership, it underscores the fact that internally, politics ain't beanbag, and these people just get displaced at the pleasure or the desire of the new Senate president. One of the things I think is interesting where you might see a difference is Senator Ruggiero has come out very strongly for the ballpark. And that's a whole new initiative. He's taken it on by himself. He's very vocal about it. And we haven't heard a peep from the House. And, you know, we usually think of these initiatives starting in the House. And I just wonder, given their stylistic positions, and I think Ruggiero is a little more like Mattiello and a little more authoritarian, if you will, in that sense. I'm wondering if this is going to suggest a change in policy where it's not going to be first the House and then the Senate, and the leadership may come out on its own.
What do you say, Senator DePalma?
So I think that might be what you see from what you might have seen from the outside, but being on the inside, I would say that's not been the case. The Senate President, our outgoing Senate President, Teresa Pivoweed, who's been a great leader, a great friend, and a great mentor, was actively involved in policy issues throughout her tenure. That I've known her in the Senate. I've known her prior to the Senate, being in Middletown for 34 years. Much has happened behind the scenes that you may not have looked at and said, well, we don't see that, so this will be different.
I don't see major changes really happening in the way the chamber operates because both Pivoweed and Ruggiero, pretty close to organized labor, pretty much mainstream Democrats. Some liberals disagree with them on the social issues like abortion and gay marriage. But I will say that I don't expect to see Senator Ruggiero being quite as strong and vocal a cheerleader for Governor Raimondo as was Senate President Pivoweed. I think that'll be the big change.
All right, switching gears here, the State Department of Children, Youth, and Families has been plagued by serious problems for many years. The agency now faces criticism for not doing enough to protect at-risk children. Senator DePalma, you're known for keeping a close eye on DCYF. I know you've monitored these issues closely. What will it take to move this agency forward and put it in a better place?
Let me first start by saying you're correct with regards to my oversight in the committee's oversight and vigilance with regards to DCYF. There are over 3,000 kids in the care of the state. I feel personally accountable. The state needs to be personally accountable for those 3,000 children in the state. Much has improved in DCYF. Much remains. The workers that are there come to work every single day figuring out how they're going to best do their job to address those 3,000 children. Based on what's manifested itself with a recent report by the Child Advocate, there's no one solution. There's no one piece, one thing that we do that's going to move the needle completely. It's a both complex and complicated issue that's going to take a multidimensional solution. And it's people, it's money, it's policies, it's quality assurance, it's supervision, it's training. So all those are going to have to come together. And I mentioned to the new director, Dr. Pakola, look forward to working with collaborating with her to help move that forward post-haste.
All right, we want to save some time to talk about how former state Supreme Court Justice Robert Flanders is considering a Republican challenge to Democratic U.S. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse next year. Scott, from where you sit, Flanders had been seen as a potential gubernatorial candidate. Do you think it makes more sense for him to possibly run for Senate rather than governor?
No, I don't. I think he's a very, very capable fellow, one of the best lawyers in the state. He has a long record of public service, but in recent years, midterm elections, and I really expect that from the vantage of where we are today and the Trump administration, in recent years, they've been more like European or Canadian parliamentary elections, where the party is more paramount than the individual. And I think Flanders' problem is going to be, as a Republican, how do you stand on all of these things in a very blue state, a state that's not going to like what Trump's doing to the EPA, what Trump's doing with health care, what Trump's doing with a whole variety of issues. And I don't know, if you're Bob Flanders, why you want to get into that kind of a discussion.
Maureen, what would you say to that question about whether it's better for Flanders to run for Senate or governor?
Well, I think the reason why perhaps he's chosen the Senate is because I think you need more of an electoral base if you're going to run for governor. The interesting thing here is, in depending on the enthusiasm of the Republican Party, I think they're doing it again. They put their eggs at the top of the ticket. If he generates a lot of money, a lot of support, what does it do, again, for the lower ranking? They should be concentrating on legislative seats. They do this all the time. They go for the big hit. They'll go after White House. It probably will not be successful. And in the end, again, they're not going to, they should be focusing on picking up seats in the General Assembly. It's a pattern that Republicans do all the time.
Yeah, but
I don't understand why they don't change it.
But if you can elect a governor, that helps you, it would seem to me, if you had a governor who's willing to help rebuild the party. And one thing about Flanders is he's a very, very capable guy who would be a good governor, I think.
Well, we're talking about running for Senate, and they're taking on White House, and they're doing what I think they shouldn't do in terms of where they should put their effort.
Well, let's get Senator DePalma in here. You're a Democrat, so we would assume that you would be backing Senator Whitehouse. Is that correct?
100%.
And what do you think of Robert Flanders as a potential Republican opponent for Senator Whitehouse?
I think it'll be a race. I know Robert Judge Flanders from having worked with him when I was on the council in Middletown. He worked with us in some issues with regards to Navy land that was going to be excess. Did great work from his work with higher ed, his work with Central Falls. But I think I know, and I've actively campaigned for Senator Whitehouse when he ran in 2006 when I was running for the Middletown Town Council. Great supporter of the state, hard worker, recognized for the work that he does. And I supported him in 2012, and I look forward to campaigning for him again in 2018. He's a formidable opponent.
Before we let you go, Senator DePalma, what are your legislative priorities for this session?
My number one legislative priority is about the wages for direct support professionals that work with folks with intellectual development disabilities. That, as well as home care workers, it's the right thing to do. My goal, and I've been working on this for probably 5 years, is what we call $15.05. Some of them were making basically minimum wage. They shouldn't have been. The goal is to get them to $15 per hour within 5 years. The governor has an article in the budget, Article 23, there's also a piece for home care in Article 13. It's the right thing to do. We need to do it.
That's all the time we have, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable. Scott?
Great to be here.
Maureen?
Thank you.
And State Senator Louis DePalma of Middletown, a Democrat, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for the invite.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our website at ripr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.